know, just maybe if you've just prayed ever and just like thanking God for something, there's a different way to do that, right? But it's a realization too, it's a centering for ourselves to realize that like whenever we come in here, whenever what we believe as Christians is that like Jesus has died for you. He's died for anything that you've ever done in the past. Anything, right? Right, girls? I'm sure. The point that I say this is just to say that this is just a moment for you to remember that like Jesus, everything that you've ever messed up, and I just hear it from you all the time in different ways and in different moments, and I've seen it happen. There's just so many times we make mistakes in life. And sometimes mistakes are just mistakes, and sometimes they can be more than that. They can be harmful or hurtful towards others, or they can be, that is typically what sin is. Sin is this harmful or hurtful thing towards God, but we can sin against others, right? Like we can hurt other people. We can hurt other people's feelings. We can harm others with our words, with our actions, with our deeds. And the reason for these words is just to say that all those things, all those times that we make mistakes, all those things that we mess up in life, all those moments that we just don't get right because we're people. The point of the song is that we bring that to Jesus and we know that that is cleansed. We know that that is forgiven. We know that there is grace. Even whenever your friend maybe hasn't forgiven you, Jesus already has. And so I just want you to realize that. I just want you to be able to think about that. Like that's the reason that we do this. That's the reason that we come in here. That's the reason that we worship. That's one of the things that we do is why we sing these songs, why we come together, because we remember in this moment that any anxiety you have for the day, any worries that you have, any sins that you've done, any things that you've done wrong towards others, those things are taken away whenever we follow after him. That's what that means. You have a question, Maddie? Okay. This is only semi-important. So either way, I wanted to bring that up. Let's continue on. We're talking these last 2 weeks we talked about the parables of Jesus, and we're continuing to talk about that. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to go grab one right now. This is your opportunity. Some of you might already have one, which is awesome. See ya. Huh? I would prefer that you don't look on your phone for your Bible. I would prefer that you grab a Bible instead of looking on your phone. I think it's better for you, mostly because you seem to really struggle being on your phone. It's mostly because I don't think you can do both, I'll be honest. Open up your Bibles. If you have them, I see a lot of people do. Open up your Bibles to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, I'm going to make you find it today. Matthew 13. You guys can go ahead and pull up the passage pull up the slide that has the passage. I know we're kind of jumping around, so I apologize for that. Oh, now you're telling people the page? Oh, but it's not cheating if you tell everyone the page, just if you find it. Oh, that's okay. Then you could just not look at the screen. That's fair. Matthew 13. Huh? 684 for those of you who haven't turned there yet. Okay. So while you're there, I'm glad that you're there. I just want you to keep your hand there, right? You can like even put a little finger there. That way you know exactly where you're at. But I wanted to show you something, huh? Okay, well, then you just got to find it. You're going to be okay. You're going to be all right. So, Nina, right? If you can't find it, just keep looking. Have a friend help you find Matthew. The thing I want to show you first, though, I want to show you guys my garden, if that's okay. I'd like to show you kind of what I've been doing over the summer. Wow, I know, it's so spectacular. Yeah, it's really not that good. It's okay. Huh? Yeah, that's not my whole garden, but it's some of it. Listen. I would tell you if you stopped talking. Huh? I have some tomatoes. That's not what's here, though. So, guys in the back, I'm only going to show this photo, okay? So I'm only going to show, I might show the photo of the dogs, but, there's nothing up. Calm yourselves. So the reason I show this is at the beginning, boys, we doing okay? Okay. At the beginning of the summer, we decided to plant a bunch of things. We decided to plant bell peppers. We planted some strawberries. That's what's actually in there. We planted some snap peas, which is like a kind of green bean, if you've ever had those. It's a kind of green bean. I'm just giving general variation. And then we actually planted quite a few green bean plants. And that's actually one of the things that you can actually see kind of, if you know what you're looking for, there's a green bean plant literally all over our garden. This like little patch that we have. We have multiple spots for our garden in our home, at our home, but this is one of the spots. And in it, we found that this green bean grew everywhere, but we planted like 10 and only one grew. And honestly, like, I didn't really know why. Like, I didn't understand what I did. I did the same thing for all of them, and only one of them grew. And I was so, like, astonished by that. I was so interested in that. And there's a lot of reasons, right, that things may not grow, right? Something may come in and, like, take it out. Something may come in and eat something. One of the things that happens at my house a lot, and this is the reason that we actually have this, like, crude fence up. If you go to the image of my dogs... Thank you. So, I don't know where he is. He's somewhere else. But in, yes, this is Alfred. The one up top is Alfred, and the one down below is Keone. Okay, there you go. Now you know. So, if you look, no, we can talk about your question later. Okay, all right. So if we look at it in the middle of this, I have technically a plant growing. But it's not producing any fruit because the dogs keep stepping on it. So they keep killing the plant. So like a flower will grow and this squash will actually begin to form. But then the dogs come along and literally squash it. And then you literally see like it just start to decay and rot. Like you just see this cycle happening over and over again. So sometimes like my dogs will come in and they'll step on stuff or they'll take something away or they'll not allow it to grow. Sometimes something else might come in and take it. We planted carrots earlier this summer too, and sometimes some rabbits actually came in and, like, plucked them out. So, you know, it kind of mattered, depending on what it was. But the point was, is like, no matter what I did right, sometimes things would just not grow. And the reason I bring this up and the reason I talk about it and show you my garden, I don't like rabbits that much either, is because, like you have in your Bible, you have Matthew 13 pulled up. This is the parable of the sower. We've been talking through multiple parables, and this parable specifically talks about seeds quite a bit. Talks a lot about seeds, going out and sowing seeds. We'll actually read the passage in just a moment. But the reason, right, Nina, the reason that they're talking so much about seeds throughout the Bible, Jesus talks so much about this, is because they're this agricultural group. They're a large. They love farming. They do a lot of farming in order to just live, right? That's a normal thing. Today we don't do as much farming, but you're still probably familiar with farming, at least because you go out and you see corn lands, you see bean lands and corn lands. You see fields of corn and you see fields of beans, right? You're at least familiar with pigs that you see on a farm, maybe, or you see cows. You may have some familiarity with it, but for them. Well, you're not eating the dogs, so there is some noticeableness of farming, but for them it was an everyday life. For them it was an everyday thing, and so it's really, really important that Jesus talks a lot about farming. He talks a lot about planting seeds because it's the way for people to really understand what's happening. And so one of the things that he uses the story actually in multiple gospels. There's multiple examples of him using the parable of the sower. This is one such example. So it's in Matthew 13, 3-9. And before we get to this, I want you to answer this question. You can raise your hand What is a parable? How would you explain that to someone? Just so we can kind of refresh our minds a little bit. What is a parable? Sam, what would you say the parable is? Okay, yeah, that's a great reason. Actually, that's a great explanation, right? It's this parable or story or illustration to help explain a point. That's literally, actually, like if you Google defined this word, it would be quite literally the same thing. You would be very spot on. So great job, Sam. Great job. So what we're looking at, we're going to read this together. We're going to read this passage that we're going to be looking at tonight. Verse 3, that's where it starts. I'm going to actually have us read verse 9 together. This is why it's important to be following along, right? We're going to read verse 9 together. So I'm going to read 1 through 8, and then we're going to read 9 as a group. So be prepared for that as we get to that, right? That's where you got to look. Matthew 13, we're starting at verse 3. You're going to read verse 9. We're going to read 9 as a group, whole group. I'm so glad. So I'm going to start at 3, all right? So it says, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seeds, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they were withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among the thorns. I missed my place. Which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. And then verse 9. Whoever has ears, let them hear. That was so good. That was so good. Let's read it one more time. Everyone as a group, we'll all read this part. I'll say whoever, and then you guys finish the rest. Whoever. We're doing really good at learning this. We're doing good, guys. We're doing good. Nope, that was good. You guys are getting slowly better at that. So similar to how I planted a garden over this summer, there's a lot of different ways, right, to plant seeds. Some seeds need some really delicate care and focus, and some just need simply, right, to be on the ground. Sowing is literally what this means. It literally means planting the seeds by scattering them. Like, they're sowing seeds. They're scattering seeds. They're trying to put the seeds into the dirt, right? They're sowing seeds. They're throwing seeds out. They're in the beginning process of planting. You doing okay, Annie? Okay. They're in the process of scattering seeds. But the thing that I think you guys can see, the thing that he says in the parable, and the thing that I think you guys know in real life, right? Some seeds will grow. Some seeds will get squelched. That means that they'll get consumed by other seeds, maybe. Or they'll get consumed by other plants, or they'll say that some won't grow at all. Like, some things just don't grow. No matter how hard you make it grow, no matter what you try to do for it, sometimes a seed will simply not do anything. And I know I just keep talking about seeds, but so does Jesus. He talks a ton about the value of a seed in someone's life and what it means. For you guys being here, it's because someone sowed a seed into your life. Someone planted a seed, whether that was an invite, whether that was an ask, or whether that was a forceful request by your parents, whatever that might have looked like for you, you are here because of that. You guys okay? Okay. And so in this parable, Jesus is referring to, he's talking about the spreading of the kingdom. That's what he's talking about. He's saying the spreading of Jesus Christ, he has come, and he's saying that some people are going to hear Jesus and they're not going to understand. That's what he's talking about in this moment. He's saying some will not want to come with him, and some will come to him. He talks about that and explains that a little bit later, right? But this parable is being communicated to a lot of people, and he's trying to show people what does it mean to follow him, or what does it mean to hear his words. And so he's communicating to them so that they can hear the gospel. And to be honest, whenever they first hear it, they don't fully understand. I'll be honest, they seem confused by it. Now we listen to it and we understand because we have we can look back and see what Jesus meant. We can read the words that he said to communicate. And here's the thing. I think this parable really helps us see, right, that whenever we communicate to someone about Jesus, whenever we communicate to someone about who Jesus is, or an invitation to them, or we ask them to come to youth group, or we ask them to come to our house and spend time with us, whatever that might be, whenever we talk about God, there's truth that we may get rejected. So if you ever bring up Jesus, maybe someone might feel really weird about that. They're like, that might feel weird. Or it says, right, sometimes we may be talking about God and we may not be understood. It may feel really confusing, like it doesn't make any sense. Sometimes whenever we talk about God, people may get really excited and they get really engaged with it, but then they realize what it may mean and they go, I don't think I actually want to do that. And sometimes it means that they hear it, they really cling to it, and they just continue. They stay plugged in. Many of you, as you come and as you continue to come, that may be your story. You started to come and then you said, I really enjoy coming, and so I've stayed coming, right? This may be that seed that was sown for you. And the reason that Jesus shares so many parables is he shares them in order to show what is it like to be a follower of Jesus, or what does it mean that the kingdom is coming to us, that the kingdom has come here in Springfield, Illinois. What does it mean that Jesus has come to us? Of the point of a parable is to illustrate one of those points. And so just as the parable illustrates those points about God or the coming of the kingdom, your story, the thing that has helped you come here, or that has progressed your faith, or has helped you really start to believe in Jesus, your story can be a seed for someone to encounter God. That's what I want you to be able to hear tonight, and that's what I want you to be able to take away, is that what happened to you and how you've come to know who Jesus is, or how you've come to believe in Jesus, that can be a seed for someone else to encounter God in their life, right? A story helps us connect intangible ideas into our everyday life. Whenever you share for yourself how Jesus has impacted you, that helps someone see how God may impact their life. More than just saying, well, you know, God is good, he does these cool things. But instead you share that God has helped me in this situation and what I'm going through. It puts a name to the face and shows someone what it really means to follow after Jesus. And so telling your story, how God has impacted your life, it helps others see how God can impact their life. Your story can help someone view God in a new way, in a way that shows them what does it mean to follow him truly. One of the things that's really helpful that I hope you can think of is the burden of sharing a story and the burden of helping someone grow is never only on you. The burden of making sure that someone actually takes that seed and it grows within them is not solely on you. The reason I share this is 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about this. I don't have it as a slide, so you don't have to look for it. But it shares that we're co-workers in God's work. And so if you know 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9, it says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are in God's field, God's building. I want you to imagine that whenever you are planting seeds, or whenever you're telling someone about Jesus, or you're inviting someone to youth group, I never want to think that it's your responsibility to make sure that they become a Christian. Or it's your responsibility to make sure that they know who Jesus is, that they encounter Jesus in their own way, all because of what you're doing. Because that completely takes away the impact or the work that God is doing in their life. Maddie, I will answer your question at the end, okay? That completely takes away the impact that God is doing in their life, because God is the one that grows that seed. We need God in order to grow seeds. In order for something to truly take place and grow, something else needs to happen. For my green beans, I mean, truth, like, only one of them grew. I did everything right. I think I did everything right. I did everything to the best of my knowledge, and only one of them grew. Sometimes they just won't grow. And that can be true. But our role is not to grow seeds. We're not to do everything to make sure that that person becomes a Christian. Our job is to plant seeds. Our job is to sow seeds. You cannot make them or force a seed to grow. You can only sow them. You can only spread them. You can only invite someone. You can only show someone what does it mean to follow after Jesus. You can't make them follow Jesus themselves. And that's this picture I think Paul is painting us, that we have one role, but God is the one who makes it grow. And so that's what I want you just to be thinking of, and that's what I want as like a tangible idea in your mind, is you are not the one that's growing the seeds. You are not the one controlling that person or making them come to Jesus. Instead, you are just simply someone who plants seeds. Whenever he talks about this parable of the sower, and he talks about this tangible way that whenever you spread out your seeds, whenever you tell someone about Jesus, sometimes it'll land, sometimes it might land and do kind of well and then go away, and sometimes it'll do great. But he gives that illustration because I want you to see that planting a seed, one, it may not, nothing may happen. And two, you may not get to see what happens. We can only control what we sow. We can't control what grows, right? We can only control what we spread out, what we tell others. We can only control our own actions and how we communicate the gospel to others, but we can't control how it grows or how fast it grows. Something that you may do now may impact someone 10 years from now, and you don't even know it. I know that's weird to think of, but there's truth in that. There's things that I think back to of how someone has impacted me in one moment and how it has continued to impact me throughout my years. Not like I'm old, but you know what I mean. Throughout my time that I think back, I remember how that one person has impacted me in such a significant way that it has changed the direction of my life. That could be you. And so tonight, the last thing I want to share is just...
Ooh, I didn't realize it did that.
Sorry, it was very, very distracting for myself. I just want to talk about like some ways that we plant seeds. Like, what does it mean for us to plant seeds? How do you go about planting seeds? We keep talking about this idea of planting seeds over and over again. And there's just a couple ways that I want you to see, and that's with these slides. Go to the first one, guys. So there's four different ways I think I have on those up there. Don't go to all four, just keep it on the first one. But the first one I just want to talk about, like the first way that you can just you plant a seed is simply inviting someone to church. And that doesn't mean you have to invite them here. You can invite them on a Sunday morning. Maybe you don't come here on Sunday morning. Maybe you go somewhere else. You invite them there. That doesn't mean that it has to be Cherry Hills that you're inviting them to, but it could be coming here on Wednesday night if you want them to come with you. That invitation is that first moment. Maybe you're kind of weird about telling them about Jesus, but maybe you want them to come to youth group. Like maybe you're like, I really want a friend to come with me. And so you just invite them. You say, hey, can you come with me to this? Right, Cesar? Right. So maybe it's just that simple invitation. That is the first easy step for you to sow a seed. To sow a seed, right, just it means just to toss out something and say, hey, you want to come with me to this? They may say yes, they may say no, right? Pretty easy answers. Or they may say not yet. Maybe they do add that in. They say, I'm busy right now, but maybe I'll come in a couple weeks. All right, next one. This is what I want you to think of, because I think we don't think about this too often, honestly. How you act, how you and your family act at home can play such a significant role in someone's life. And if I'm honest, one of the reasons I came to church was because my best friend invited me to his home first and then to church second. And I never thought about that. But to be honest, like my friend's family, they grew up in the church. One of my best friend in high school, his dad was an elder. And like they were the ones that brought me back to church. But first, they didn't bring me to church immediately. They brought me home. They gave me a space that I felt like I belonged. They gave me a space that I felt like I was at home. And I just want you to realize the massive amount of relational ability you have to invite someone into your home, to share with them who your parents are, to share the annoyance that maybe you have with your siblings. Like, you share life with them whenever you invite them into your home. And I just want you to think in those terms that sometimes the first step is not inviting someone to church, but maybe it's just someone inviting someone over to experience what does it mean to do real life with you, right? That could be that easy first step. And I'm not saying that's the right step for everyone, but that could be a right step for you. Just taking that step and saying, hey, you want to just come over? Because that leads into this next one. And this one is really important. If you're not doing this stuff at home, then maybe it's best not to invite them to home. It is your personal actions, right? Outside of inviting people, right? Like outside of asking someone to come to church or maybe asking someone to come to your house and kind of spend time with your family and see what it means to be in a loving Christian home. Maybe outside of that, maybe it first comes down to like, how are your personal actions? Like, how do you act outside of this building? Do you act in a way that you feel like you should? I mean, to be honest, like if you think about it, do you go home and you just do whatever you want and you know you're like, oh man, I know my parents would hate this, but I don't really care. That's probably not the best way to show someone what does it mean to follow Jesus. If we can't personally show what does it mean to follow Jesus, then it's really hard to invite someone to church. It's really hard to invite someone to our home and show them for ourselves what does it mean to follow God whenever they look at us and they say, are you really following God? I feel like you just kind of do whatever you want. And the whole point of following after the Bible truly is all about following what Jesus wants and not what I want. And so if you feel like you're struggling with that, then maybe those other first two are not a good step for you. And the last one that I want to share, last way that maybe you could sow a seed or something that you could plant a seed in someone else's life or you could tell someone, is simply by telling your story. This is a really simple one, but sometimes it feels really hard because we don't know how to do it. And so what I think one of the things I actually provided tonight, I have these packets. So I'll be honest, the packets are just a way to help you begin to think about your story. They are no more than that. You don't have to take it as like, this is how I have to tell my story. But if you've never thought about that, you've never thought about this aspect of like, how would I tell someone about what God has done in my life? That's what this is. It really is just that simple. And small group leaders, if you guys want some for your group, I have some in a little bowl out there. You guys can take some for your group. You guys can use them tonight. Or if you don't want to use them, totally okay. But the reason I have them is it helps you start to frame your story. You start to think through, like, what does it mean? How does God work in my life? So that you could tell that to someone else. If someone asks you, they say, what's this deal about Jesus? Why do you do this? You could, maybe you don't pull out the cards. Maybe you don't go, hold on. So that. And then maybe you don't do that, right? Like, maybe that isn't your first step. But the point of this is just that you have it written down so you can know, okay, this is kind of what I would say, right? It's not note cards for you to pull out whenever someone's talking to you. But the example that I have, I wrote it down. I took some time. I put, my name is Camden Trumbull, and I am 27 years old. They ask you that. I don't know. Maybe you could put it down. You can do whatever. But the question, whoop, drop that. This is why you shouldn't have the cards whenever you're trying to talk to someone. Because it can be weird. But I'll give you the example. It says, on the other side of this card, in two sentences, describe an obstacle you faced and how it made you feel. And so what I put in my life, I said my dad was not involved in my life. And that was difficult because it made me feel I had to be the dad. Whenever I was in sixth grade, my mom and my dad separated. And that was really hard for me because it made me feel that as a sixth grader, I was responsible for my two younger siblings. And that was difficult. I'm sure a lot of you may feel in similar positions, or maybe you don't. Maybe you're like, I don't really know what that means. Or maybe you just feel as the oldest that you're in general in charge. I don't know what that looks like. But for the third one, it says, like, write what God did to help you through that obstacle. And so I had to think about this, but this is the point of this. You have to think through this a little bit. And I remembered, through time, God has provided me with many men to replace the role that I feel like my father struggled to fill, which is true. Throughout my life, it wasn't immediate, but it was through time. It was through a couple years that I started to see people, men specifically, that I felt like I struggled to have a father. I felt like I had people that filled that role, that did something significant in my life. And the last one, there's this last card, and that is what God has done for me. You don't have to keep that card. That could be a little cheesy. But the last one is on the other side, in two sentences, write how your life is different now that God has helped you through that obstacle. And I put that I have found roles. I'm trying to even read my own handwriting. I apologize for anyone I wrote in a letter to. I know it's hard. I have found roles and people to pour into my life in the ways that I need. For me, it took me a moment to think about this, but it was evidence in my life of how God has worked in my life in ways that I needed. I needed to have people that were fathers in my life because I didn't have that. And to be honest, it took time. It wasn't at first, but they did come. They were there and they're still in my life, which has been really impactful for me. And so maybe that would be helpful for you to write down your story, to be able to tell it to someone, to someone else, or just be able to write it down so you know what you would tell to someone else. Maybe that's the right step for you. I don't know, but it might be something that you could do tonight. But as we're just closing out, as I'm going to pray in just a moment, and then we're just going to jump into announcements. The thing I just want you to be thinking of as you go into groups in a couple minutes is what is the right next step for you? Is it inviting someone to church? Is it inviting someone to your home, showing them what does it mean to live as Christians before you invite them here? Is it simply in your personal life, making sure that you are consistent with showing what does it mean to follow God and not simply what does it mean to follow whatever you want, right? Or does it mean maybe you need help telling your story to someone? Maybe you need some help reframing that and be able to speak that and be able to illustrate that to someone. What is that next step for you? That's what I want you to be thinking in groups. That's what I want you to be doing. Group leaders, again, if you guys want some of those packets, they're right on the front desk as you make your way out. You guys are free to grab some. But the question tonight is just, what is your next step in order to sow seeds in someone else's life? Because that's what we're doing. Anytime, no matter what you're doing, you are sowing seeds. In every impact, in every avenue of life, whether or not it's good or bad, you're still sowing. You're sowing thoughts, you're sowing patterns, you're sowing ideas into someone else's life. It's happening all the time. The thing I want you to think about is being intentional about what you're doing and not just simply letting it happen as it goes. So if you guys would, I'd love to just pray for you before I share some announcements before we go to groups. God, I just ask that you are with us tonight as we go into groups in just a couple minutes, that you can help us focus in on what does it mean to follow you and what does it mean to invite others to you to sow seeds in their lives. How can we make sure that we are intentional with what we sow and that we are showing others what does it mean to follow Jesus in every avenue of our life, whether or not we are at sports or we are at clubs or whether we are in school or at home, what does it mean for us to follow you and show others what that looks like? Help us to do that in every avenue of our life, to give over our whole lives to you and not just give you a part of our lives, not just to give you a Wednesday or a Sunday morning, but to give you every day. Help me to do that so I can show others as well as what that means. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. So really fast, wait, before you put up stuff, I want to go through a couple things. There's a handful of things. Sit down real fast. Sit down, sit down, sit down. Thank you. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. It's like rocking the boat. All right, go to the first announcement. I'll go through these real fast. If you have not signed up for this yet, you can text the word MSM to 833-344-0176. It says to get all the fun MSM updates. You can read that on the board. It's always fun. But the point of that is just that you can simply know what's going on. So if you're like, hey, I want to know what's happening, and you have a cell phone, I see a lot of you with cell phones, so I hope that you're on the texting list, right? Like, I hope that you have that. So, move on. Guys, September 28th, so that is in 3 weeks, September 28th, we're doing a family serve night at Refuge Ranch. We're going to do it 5:30 to 7:30 just because of the time, because at 7:30 it starts getting dark. But here's the deal. That night is a night simply to serve with your family. So you are invited to ask your parents to come alongside you or ask your brothers or sisters or your whole family. I don't care. You can ask anyone to come with you. And the whole point of that, and I know it might feel a little weird. It doesn't matter who comes with you. You could bring anyone to your, anyone with you. The whole point of this is we too often, I think, get stuck on just coming here and being fed and doing youth group and just going through the flow. And too often, we never take it seriously, the idea of actually going out and serving. And so we are putting that into tangible action. We were going to do it this summer. We didn't get to do that. So we're starting this fall. We're going to be going just one night. It's not like we're doing it every night, but one night this fall, we're going to be going out. We're going to be serving the community in a way that they need. They need our help on that night, so we're going to help them. So next, this one, no one's going to be excited about, I'll be honest. Here's what I ask. I think everyone, I see it, and if it's not, if you say it's not you, it's definitely you. I want to ask, that's great, then you don't have to worry about it, right? During groups, hey, listen up. During groups, I was going to leave it up. This is my decision, and I think it's because I think it's best for each one of you. I truly do. I would ask that you just put your phones, if you have your phone, just put it in the basket whenever you go in. There's a basket in every room. The leaders can find the basket. I looked, I checked, there is a basket in every room. I want you just to put your phone in the basket and then focus in on group. Once group's over, you can grab your phone. Small groups. No. Small groups. And here's the reason for this. One, you can make it 30 minutes. I believe in you. I know you can. Two, it really, I think it really is hard. And believe me, it's hard for me. It is really hard to truly not look at our phone whenever stuff is going on. Even while I'm here, sometimes being up here, I can sometimes check my phone. Because I'm like, I want to see the time, and then I'll look at something and I'll see that, like, I get a message and it distracts me. Like, it's so easy to get distracted. And I just want to take that away. Just remove it for a couple minutes. You will make it, I promise you. And if you need it, it's right there. It's not like it's going anywhere. So I'm just asking you to just do that just for the sake of everyone in the group. Not just you, but for everyone. That way no one can feel like they're distracted and everyone can feel like they're focused in on what's going on. What is your question, Annie? Well, that is definitely true. So what I want to ask is just that we all start to follow that, that we all start to do this as a group with everyone that's here. And that means truly, I don't want you to be hiding your phone and being like, oh, I don't have a phone. That way you don't take it away. That's rather silly. Like, think about this. I'm asking you for 30 minutes just to set your phone down. You can pick it back up right after that and you can do all you want. But for 30 minutes, I believe in you. And truly, I want you to hear this from me. I really do think it will help you instead of hurt you. So that's why I'm going to ask that we do this at least for now. We're going to do it as a lovely group, be able to facilitate healthy time together. I don't got anything else for that. If you haven't grabbed one yet, make sure you grab a schedule before you leave. Tonight, I'm going to let the guys go first. You guys can go. Girls, stay seated. Make sure you pick up all your trash. You put up everything. Follow Mike and the guys. All right, girls, you guys can go. Make sure to put up all your chairs.